Javon Shepherd, Raptors 905 analyst, CBC Sports TV analyst. Javon, how you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. Yourself?
Doing well, doing well. I got to be honest, before we get into this, very, very happy to be talking with you today. I'm a guy who, growing up in this city, spent way too much time caring about high school sports. So definitely a bit of an honor to get to talk to you today. I know this is going to be super.
Thank you so much.
This is going to be super inside basketball for everybody listening. I saw you tweet out that picture of Junior Cadogan, a bit of a Canadian basketball legend with Jimmy Butler back in his Marquette days. So, yes, very, very happy to have you on. So we'll jump into the NBA talk here. I don't know if there's a 1-2 duo in the NBA. There are better 1-2 duos than Bam and Jimmy. I don't know that there's a better duo to defend LeBron and AD than those two. Do you think there's any that I can think of, or are they kind of perfectly set up to give those guys as much of a problem as you possibly can?
Well, I'll say this. You know what? You're dealing with Anthony Davis, who's the best big man in the league, right? Arguably best big man. And then you have LeBron James, who's the best basketball player in the world right now. So you're not going to be able to negate the impact those guys are going to have on the game ever. So we have to completely forget that. But Bam and Jimmy are definitely, you know, two great players. And I think, you know, the biggest thing with that team, with the Miami team, is that they're a well-rounded team, and they're built from a Pat Riley championship toughness DNA, and there's some synergy from you know, management all the way down to your last player in your bench. So, yeah, you're really not going to be able to do much with LeBron and AD, but what you can do is just completely alienate, you know, the supporting cast of the Lakers. Those two are awesome. They're on another level. LeBron's a walking triple-double, and AD is going to give you 30 and 10. You're not going to change that overnight at all.
So I guess we should talk NBA Finals, but I do don't want to get your take on the Doc Rivers firing, because that's pretty juicy news today. And I have to say, I'm pretty surprised by it. I don't think it was at all his fault. I think he's definitely been behind some 3-1 collapses. He's been at the helm for some bad stuff, but he's also a good coach. What do you think the Clippers do at head coach there? What do you think happens to Doc Rivers? I'm sure he's not going to be able to work long, but that was a pretty surprising move to me today.
You know what? And I don't agree with you. I think that was actually the right move. I mean, sometimes it's just there was an expiry date. At this point with, you know, he's been there longer. 7 years he's been there. He's had, you know, the winningest percentage as a head coach, but he hasn't had success in the playoffs. And I think with the caliber of players that he's had come through, you know, L.A. there, the time was coming. They haven't even seen, in the 50 years of their existence, they haven't seen a conference finals. So it's tough, right? And I think there was, you know, fans were growing impatient, management was growing impatient, and sometimes you just need a change of scenery, a change of philosophy. And, you know, on top of it, in the NBA, you're evaluated based on the development of your players or the success that you've had. And given that the caliber of players that the Clippers have had, you know, they're going to be measured on the success. So, again, they have Paul George and Kawhi that has come in, and those guys have expiring contracts coming up. So they don't have the luxury of time, per se. Something had to be done now.
I agree with what you're saying in terms of the long-term run. Doc's had plenty of chances and with plenty of different cores now. The only thing is, I would agree with everything you were saying if you had Kawhi and PG locked up well past next year. But the idea that you're going to, in what could be a walk year for the entire franchise, basically, that you're going to try it out with a new head coach. And yes, we've seen new hires work out well. We know in this city exactly how well they can work out. But I think it's a big time roll of the dice. Even though it didn't work with Doc, I think there was kind of a floor that he put on your team, and it was a pretty high floor. Whereas with a new coach, you might get a higher ceiling, but the floor could be much, much lower, I think.
You're right, but at the same time, it's also a business, right? And somebody has to make a decision because somebody's job is at stake. So management also has to show that we're trying to prove, we're trying to make a difference, we're trying to make a change, or else their jobs will be on the line going forward. So I do think it's the right thing to do. I mean, I'm not taking nothing away from Doc Rivers. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a better motivator. And me personally, I think he'll be better off with a team that it's not so star-studded, and that he can continue to motivate young guys to overachieve. So, you know, I don't think he'll be out a job for long. I know that he's been in talks with the Philadelphia position as well as New Orleans, I believe, which are, you know, perfect situations for him. But, you know, I was running – my time was running thin with them as well. I wanted to see some change with the Clippers. I just think they've had too many great players come through there not to have any success.
Yeah, that makes sense, and we'll stick with the Clippers and maybe, well, definitely their greatest player in Kawhi Leonard. I've seen a lot of comments about Kawhi's never had to be a vocal leader. He's always just been able to kind of play or let his play do the talking. And, I'm not asking you what type of teammate Kawhi Leonard is, but do you think that this is a scenario now where he's kind of finding himself in a different position? Obviously, we know in the Spurs he had tons of vocal leadership there, be it Pop, be it Duncan, be it Parker, everybody else, you know, with the Raptors. He didn't have to be that guy. It was Kyle Lowry, and there was a great kind of built culture. Do you worry that this is kind of exposing maybe a weak part of not his game, but kind of what, you know, the one kind of weak link in his superstar credentials, if you will?
I think, you know, everybody leads. There's different leaders lead in different ways. And I think for Kawhi, he leads by example and his presence, the impact that he has, and just elevating the game of guys around him. So I don't necessarily think you need him to be vocal, because then that won't be organic, right? Like, as a leader, you need your leader to be organic and that be sincere, so that they can, guys will listen. I know for myself, it was easy for me to pick out a guy that was just, you know, faking the funk, and a guy that was really, really passionate and really about his craft. I think that's more on the ownership and the management, per se, to put guys in places to be successful. Whereas, you know, this year, in his case, I think that the Clippers were missing a point guard. I know Patrick Beverley is, you know, gritty and great at what he does, but they were missing that point guard that was going to be an extension of Doc Rivers, or that vocal piece on the court to elevate everybody and get everybody into the right position. So we've seen that here in Toronto. Kawhi had, you know, tremendous season. Obviously, the Raptors had a tremendous season, but everybody had different roles. Kyle Lowry took a step back in terms of what, you know, the numbers and the stats that he had on court, but he was that vocal leader that the team needed. Whereas Kawhi, you know, he gave you the numbers and really was your anchor defensively.
So I wanted to ask you now about the NBA Finals, since it does start on Wednesday. And
All right.
I got to say, man, I have been loving watching this Miami Heat team. They really give me a lot of vibes of similar to the last year's Raptors team. I really, really love watching them play. And the guy that I've been taken most by is Bam Adebayo. I know Jimmy Butler's been great for them, Tyler Hero. But, you know, Bam Adebayo is really the straw that stirs the drink for them. And, you know, if in a matchup against the Lakers, where they're such a center-dependent team with Anthony Davis there, I really think that he's going to be an X factor for them. What have you seen from Bam, and what have you seen really from the Heat all the way through this playoff run?
I think, you know, they've been a unified team, and I think that is bigger than it pays dividends more than anything, is the fact that team has chemistry. And I've said it before, from management all the way down, these guys are one unit, and they move, they speak together, they say it. And if you've noticed in any interview, they always give credit to their teammates. And I think that's been it for them. They follow the championship DNA from Pat Riley, President Pat Riley, and he's somebody that's instilled that. He's brought in guys that can continue to build on that. A guy like Iguodala, he's played in six NBA Finals over the last 60 years consecutively. So that leadership, on top of, you know, building on a guy like Bam, who you can't say enough about. I believe it was Game 5 that he came in and said, he takes ownership for that loss. He didn't play up to par, and what he turned it around to following game victorious. They, you know, closed that series out. So, you know, just to see his development is going to be interesting over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it will be. And Bam's the kind of guy where it's it's funny with bigs. Sometimes you will just kind of expect almost very little from them. You can be an energy player. You can block shots. You can rebound. And then it's all of a sudden, whoa, this guy's got a little bit of a handle. And it's funny how quickly that can change. I mean, we saw it, although he's a slightly different player, we saw that with Pascal Siakam here. I do want to switch gears to the other side of the NBA Finals. I don't know that there's really a question here other than just gushing about LeBron James. I think we all know how talented he is. We all know how special he is. I don't know that we thought we'd be seeing this in year 17 at 35 years old or however old he is. Are you at all surprised, or do you think that this, I mean, for me, I think he had this gear to him to begin with, but the fact that he was able to get that time off before the bubble, we know how good the kind of layoff last year did with the Lakers missing the playoffs. I mean, do you think that this could almost extend his prime another couple of years longer than it would have been if he didn't have those layoffs?
I'll say this. I'm surprised every time I try and take off basketball now, and I try and get up and down the court and dunk, because my body won't give. But when I look at over the years what LeBron has invested into his body, he invests about $2 million each year into his body. So it's not a surprise when you're looking at it like that, because he's a guy that takes his craft extremely serious, right? And we're seeing it here today. He just keeps on getting better and taking it up another notch. So it's quite impressive to see. And I think, you know, I want to see him get a championship for his legacy. And I think his prime, he's not nearly in his prime yet. He's just peaking, and he's just going to get smarter and play the game different as he becomes more of a mentor, per se, because we're seeing a slight shift. I just think he's going to have impact in different ways now. Essentially, this team is going to go in the direction of Anthony Davis over the course of the next couple of years with LeBron's mentorship and impacting game in different ways. So I think he's far from done.
I can picture it now. The year is 2050. LeBron's barely above a job, and he's averaging 40 assists a game for the champion Raptors. Who knows? Hey, whatever could happen there. Javon, really, really enjoyed the chat tonight. It was good getting to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Anytime.